Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is primarily taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, but also we'll be touching on our Old Testament and epistle lesson as well. Well, persecution. Well, it's something that's been going on for years and years, and persecution in the faith in particular, faith in Jesus, has been going on as well. It's been going on in Europe, particularly. We've been seeing that in some of the Christian countries there with some of the extremists killing people there. In fact, when my family was going to, some of my family members were going over to Spain. My niece was getting married in Spain. Then some of them were stopping off in London, and they were concerned about where they should stay because it's like all these things were going on. They were kind of apprehensive about being there. Well, that's talking about physical kinds of persecution. Well, there's other kinds of persecution as well, kind of verbal persecution and other things that can happen. Well, sometimes it's people's attitudes when they find out that you are a Christian that changes. It's kind of interesting. It can happen where it's at work or anywhere else with your neighbors and that kind of thing. My wife, when a particular place of employment there, when her co-workers found out that her husband, me, was a pastor, well, they started calling her church lady. Now, when people would be talking there, the people in her office, quite frankly, their personal and moral character was a bit suspect, and it bore itself out in any number of ways. And one of those things were that occasionally somebody would, in their conversation, would swear in front of my wife, and then they'd stop, and they'd turn to her and go, "I'm sorry, you know. Sorry for saying that." Well, I get that too, in fact. But I also can get looks as well. Well, not too long ago here, a couple weeks ago, I was going into the city and I had my clerical collar on. And you want to talk about looks that I got. Sometimes a lot of those folks were saying, "Hi, Father." You know, I get that a lot. That's okay. I've got four kids, so I'm okay when people are saying that to me, you know. Anyhow, but then there's other people, though, that, they give me that look of loathing, like, "What are you doing here?" kind of look. In fact, there was a young couple that, as I was waiting for one of the trains to come, they were sitting there conversing with one another, then they turn and stare at me, and they see me, and then I see that they're staring at me, and they turn back and talk to themselves. Well, you get that kind of thing. But it also can happen not just like that, but also on a personal basis with, you know, friends. It happened to my wife. When before the seminary, she had a close friend, and we had children the same ages, and so they were frequently hanging out with each other and had kids playing together and that kind of thing. But when we made the decision to go to the seminary, this woman quit talking to my wife. I mean, it was like cold turkey. As soon as my wife said that we made the decision to go to the seminary, that was the last conversation that she had with her. She never saw her again. She wouldn't even answer the phone. Such as it was because of the fact that we were just going to the seminary. Now, there's really no understanding in that, why that person would do that. But nonetheless, it happens. Now, in our gospel reading today, there's this one guy who's sharing parables, and he's getting attacked, and he's getting persecuted, and that person is Jesus. He's sharing things. And it's funny how when he's sharing these things and talking and pointing to people to the kingdom of God, the church leaders, well, they hated him. They were persecuting him. They wanted to see that he was destroyed. And some people called him the devil. Jesus, the devil. Why? Because he's casting out demons. He's doing different kinds of things. And so as he's healing people, he's getting all this attention here. And the disciples are thinking, it's like, well, this is a good thing. He's getting the attention. You know, he's drawing crowds to himself, and they're thinking, it's like, well, hey, you know, the Romans, they're soon going to be leaving here because, why? Well, Jesus is going to be king. And if Jesus is king, and then all the church leaders there, the Pharisees, well, he can move them out of the way because, why? If he can cast out demons, he can get rid of those guys too. But nonetheless, Jesus is being attacked for what he's saying. And what in particular is he saying? Well, today, Jesus is sharing some parables with them. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, generally speaking, when most folks hear that particular passage, not unlike our hymn today, well, the focus is on the person and their faith and about how valuable their faith is. That's all well and good, and that's true. But I'd also like you to look at this parable from another perspective, from what you might say Christological perspective, a perspective in which we're focusing on Jesus and what God is doing here in these parables. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's God doing here? Well, when you look at this parable, these two parables here, from God's perspective, faith is not the focus here. Faith is not the treasure. But what is the treasure? You and I were the treasure. You see, God is doing everything that he can to buy us because he thinks we're the treasure. He values you and me as the treasure. Now, is this a new idea? Well, if we go to our Old Testament lesson, we find that it's not. Because when we look at that today, we have Moses here reading this, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession." You see, Moses is speaking to the Israelites here, and he's saying, God chose you to be his treasure. Not because you're the most numerous, not because you're the most special, not because of any of those reasons. In fact, you're one of the smallest peoples of all. But God chose them because he loves them. Now, in this parable, it speaks about purchasing this treasure or pearl here. Now, if we are the real treasure, what was used to buy us? Well, that we can go to our epistle lesson, our New Testament lesson for today. And Paul is speaking to the Romans, where he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Well, the great price at which God bought us was none other than his son, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who gave up for all. It is Jesus who gave up all of his life for you and me. He gave it up by dying on the cross, and in so doing, he earned the forgiveness of our sins. The great price that Jesus paid was his shed blood on the cross to buy us the very great treasure in the eyes of God. So we're a holy people. We are that valuable to God. Hear it another way in a verse that you are very familiar with. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." And that is the message that Jesus is sharing here with his disciples in these two parables. Because you see, they need to be reassured that they are valuable to God, that they're that important. Because yes, attacks are going to come their way as well. Remember, Jesus told them, it's like, hey, you know, even though they hate you, they hated me before you. Such as it is. But how important are you to God? Again, so much so that he sent his son to die for you. That's how important you are to God, that you might be his treasured possession. And so then Jesus goes on. And so he asked the disciples, he goes, hey, have you guys understood all of these things? And they said, yeah, sure we have. And then he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now he's getting specific here with his disciples. He's saying here, now you guys, you are the scribes. You're being trained for the kingdom of heaven. You are the ones to go out and share the good news. And what is that good news and where is it found? Well, this news is to be found in the Bible, in Holy Scripture, to bring out what is new and what is old. You see, what is new and what Jesus is sharing there are his words. He's telling them about the kingdom of heaven. He's telling them why the Son of Man came, why the Son of Man must be lifted up high on a cross. He's telling them about himself. But he's also asking them to share what is old, and that's the Old Testament, that in which points out that you are a people who are a treasured possession, where the Old Testament points to the Messiah to come and how Jesus fulfilled all of those promises. You see, what he's asking them to do is sharing the very things that we hear this morning. The new from the New Testament, the old from the Old Testament, all pointing to Christ as our Savior. Because indeed, as he's reminding them, you're that important. And in turn, as we hear that word, we're finding out that indeed, we're that important as well. Because you see, there's going to be times in our lives when the world's come crashing down around us. Why? Because of what you believe. Yes, you may have some friends leave you. You may be cursed at for what you believe. You may be stared at. But don't let it bother you. Why? This is when you need to remember that in God's eyes, you are valuable. You are a treasured possession. For nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says that as a reminder how valuable you are, that God would keep you in his hands. He wants you in his hands for all eternity. And he makes that possible because Jesus bought you with his blood and rose from the grave alive, giving you hope. Hope that cannot be taken away because you are God's valued, treasured possession in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us